I like to play. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Dre, drop the verse.
It's going down, face of Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original rough shaker.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the town. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
Wow.
East side to the west side, pushing fat rides, it's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash, fast when it comes to the gas. By no means average, it's on when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10. I wanna get in, can I get down so I can? I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, girl.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
She's got class and style. She knowledge by the pound. Baby never act wild. Very low key on the profile. Catching feelings is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Curves the word, spins the verb. Lovers hit curves so freak what you heard. Rolling with the fatness, you don't even know what the half is. You got to pay to play, just for shorty bang bang to look your way. I like the way you work it, trump tight all day, every day. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time, baby, I can get you in my ride.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Oh, yeah.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, babe.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
First class from New York City to Black Sheep. What you know about me? Now don't put something. Cartier wooded frame sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees to buy this click up on this scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake boards? I shows and proves, no doubt. I predict you so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me. And that's how a player's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the peoples on my block. I'm as real as can be. Word is born. Faking moves never been my thing. So Teddy, pass the word to your nigga Chauncey. I'll be sending a call. Let's say around 3:30. Queen Pen and Black.
No diggity, no doubt, baby.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got the bag.
Girl, you got it going on.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to accidentally hit the hang up button. So.
Welcome to the Ho Hive. This is your host, Brooke J, the Centralist.
This is Daz with a Z.
And this is Miss Unspin. So this week, we are talking about all things sex work. And I'm really, really excited about this particular episode. I have a lot to say. So, let's see. There's so many different types of sex work, y'all. So, like, where are we going to dig in? We can talk about stripping, escorting. We can talk about working at a novelty store. You can talk about camming, telephone operators. Any
OBGYN. I'm a science nerd, so.
OBGYN. That's valid, though.
Sex therapists.
All of our doctors and clinicians and
such, nurse practitioners, all y'all. I know y'all be having fetishes and other stuff, but I know you're also in sex work more directly. Tell us your stories.
And I think, like, when people think sex work, I think automatically a lot of times people's mind goes, like, immediately to prostitution. Like, we're just selling ass out here. That's apparently what people think sex work is. So I hope that today we can, you know, debunk and demyth a lot of things that and stereotypes that people may have about sex work, because it's more common in everyday than you might think.
Mm-hmm.
So diving in, what's the vanilla end of this? Where can we start?
Where's my list?
You got a list.
Bring it out there. Or did y'all have the list? Y'all had the list.
I have a list if you want to.
Yes, we want the list.
Miss Uncensored is getting us live in the Facebook group. So if you are in the Ho Hive Facebook group, please tune in.
We're going live in 30 seconds.
All right, y'all. So, all right, fuck it. Let's just dive in.
Let's
so,
talk about the most popular ones first. Let's just start there.
What's most popular to you, guys?
Most popular sex work is going to be prostitution and probably stripping.
Okay.
Those are probably the top ones that people just automatically assume that's all you're doing if you're doing sex work.
So let's talk about the different kinds of prostitution, because not everybody's a streetwalker, you know, like, There's definitely levels to, you know, any field that you're in, I believe. With sex work, when we talk about prostitutes, you know, the problem with America and these titles,
these labels,
it's kind of, you know, it once you box somebody in, once you put a title on something, it's kind of like you've quarantined them into that category and that's it. So, you know, when we talk about prostitutes, you know, that, let's just first and foremost say prostitutes and escorts are two separate, totally different.
Yeah. Different. Can we agree on that?
Yeah,
like,
I totally
absolutely
agree.
Absolutely.
Break that down for us then. So, as explaining with the levels and, you know, of course, Brooke threw out street walking. So, I would definitely like to say that would probably be like where you're starting at the bottom of the tier when you're talking about prostitution. There's nothing wrong with it, by all means. Do what you got to.
We got the internet out here, boo-boo. We don't need that.
And shout out to Pimpin. He's been screaming that since 2003. Pimpin ain't dead. It just moved to the web.
Hey!
R.I.P. But no, definitely you will have your street walkers. And I think, of course, with street walking, that comes with, you know, responsibility. These women already know the terrors and the risk that can come with walking down streets, of course, by yourself with a bag. It's
very
bad.
Risky.
It's
very, very risky business, especially nowadays. Like, trafficking is a real thing. Like, we should definitely talk about the safeties of sex work as well, and we'll cover that. But yeah, that's we're just gonna get started there. So talk about
from the street walker, you would graduate to a hotel. So now you're not necessarily making yourself so at risk, you know, vulnerable to, you know, being preyed upon.
Mm-hmm. You now have an in-call location.
You now have an in-call location where your customers or your clients or, you know, whoever is coming to see you. It makes it a little bit easier for the prostitute because she can now screen and she can now listen to, you know, she can verify before having to just, you know.
She don't need a pass.
Yeah, you don't need a pep
for it.
Although that situation is very common, though. It's not necessary, but a lot of women don't know where to start or feel like they need safety or extra reassurance that they won't get robbed or, you know, raped or whatever it be. So
from there, outside of the hotel, depending on, you know, what type of prostitute you are, if you do have representation, what they were just speaking about with the pimp, of course, you'll probably have some wills. And if you do have a pimp and you don't have no wills, you probably don't need to be with him.
Oh.
But side note, so after the hotel, after the hotel, I would assume one would want to pretty much own or actually run. So instead of actually using a hotel as the middleman, they're now investing in studios, or they're investing in apartments, or you know, something where they can regulate the flow a lot better and save more, because now they're not dishing money out in the hotels. I would then say that that's like the break between the prostitute and the escort, when you've actually become like commercial business with yours, where you're actually everything that you're pulling out, you know, it's actually for the benefit of your sex working. So if you're, for instance, if you're going to go pick a studio or an apartment, you're of course going to be looking for the prime location, because at the end of the day, you don't want people driving into a neighborhood that looks unsavory. It's bad for business. So once that crossover, you know, and I say crossover from escort to prostitute, I believe it's more so just owning. So an escort, of course, owns.
Right.
You know,
and there's typically some kind of web presence for you to be booked and like to have people find you. And
escorts don't typically include sexual services. Like, is that not a typical inclusive service?
Yeah,
like,
escorting
is the service. Exactly. So that's where a lot of people get it confused. That, you know, they, like you said, Ms. Brooke, you said that immediately people assume when they hear sex work, prostitution.
You're looking for money. That's exactly what people think. And it's definitely not that. Like, sex work is, you're a therapist without a degree. Like,
pretty much.
In so many ways. Like, a lot of people need different things. Some people just want somebody to talk to. You know, there's a lot of different fetishes and needs out here. But, you know, you have people who, with foot fetishes, who just might want to wash and lotion your feet and are happy with that. Some people just need an escort to maybe an event or some kind of military ball or whatever it be. There's so many different avenues to go so that you don't necessarily have to offer any sexual services. You really are an escort. Like,
and
escort.
Real escort. So you know, past that, past owning, I would say the difference between an escort and a prostitute, an escort actually picks and chooses for clientele versus the prostitute, you know.
You take what you can get.
Exactly. And I'm a firm believer of all money is not good money. So I always tell anybody, whatever field you're in, you know, choose a discretion. If you're not passionate about it, if it's not something that you're waking up wanting to do, you're actually having to force it, you're probably in the wrong field.
Mm-hmm. Definitely in the wrong field. That's definitely good knowledge and information and advice for anything that you're doing.
Yeah. Passion.
So what is this?
What are you trying to mouth to me, Loki?
I don't know what that was.
I missed the whole thing.
Well,
shout out to all my 420 friendly listeners.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, you know we already did weed, sex, drugs, but we
talk and roll up.
Yeah, digging. We in the podcast.
Hey, Daryl. You joking on your fly?
Lord.
Oh,
yes,
what are those? Where's Waldo?
Oh, so can I
anyway.
Carry this conversation, though?
Yeah.
So, Cynthia, you talked about eventually, like, as an escort, you have the stability of your own place, and... Oh, I'm so sorry.
I don't have my own place.
Uncensored.
Yeah.
So you mentioned having your own space, and I think with that comes different opportunities for different kinds of sex work, like camming, and camming, there's a lot of stigmas with that as well. And it's, again, not just, you know, fucking on camera. Like,
I think when people associate, you know, or like when they associate certain stigmas with titles, that's kind of maybe their own deep down dark fantasy. Like, that's what they're into. Like you said, a lot of sex work doesn't even include sex. It's just the idea of companionship, mm-hmm. or just the idea of not being alone.
Yeah, a lot of people want the girlfriend experience. They will literally pay for an experience that makes them feel like they have a girlfriend. And that's valid because a lot of these people are very, very successful and busy people. They don't have time to even form regular social relationships. So it's at the point where, okay, I still need this. It's still a human need, you know, for companionship. So I'll play the game. I'll pay the play, you know.
Right. Yeah. I definitely think the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just the escort thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think I touched on, like, camming a little bit.
Yeah. So camming, yeah. Let's touch on camming a little bit.
So I actually have a few friends who are in the camming business. And like you said, automatically the stigma sex. You know, the great thing about camming is it's a virtual world outside of reality where you can be anybody that you want. You can do anything that you want as long as you're not dragging nobody to hell with you and they can track down the IP number and knock on your door and get you. but, you know, even down to camming, you know, I think a lot of my girlfriends have expressed with me is it's more of just the idea of somebody wanting to watch you in your everyday, you know, rigmarole. You know, getting naked is easy. That's not even the battle. Half the battle is keeping the clothes on,
mm-hmm.
reeling your customers or your clients in, being able to verbally communicate before you physically
mm-hmm.
stimulate.
Absolutely. And to touch on that, so, y'all, I just started camming like 4 days ago, right? Got that real clap.
Okay. So honestly, like my first day, I worked probably, and when I say work, like I sat down with intentions at the laptop to actually cam. So I probably worked maybe like 4.5 hours. And to me, it's very similar to a strip club experience. Like there's slow moments, there's moments where you're cranking and making all the money, and it just depends. But from my experience, let me tell you, my first probably like 15 minutes or so, I just went outside, I rolled me a J on camera, and I smoked. I made $21.65 doing some shit that I was about to do anyway. So this was just my first 15 minutes of camming, and I'm like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, okay, I continue with my morning routine. I then proceeded to stretch. I stretched on camera for about an hour. Oh, bam. Okay, made almost another $100.
Did you have on spandex while you were
shooting? I had on some leggings, and I had on a crop top.
So the prints were readily available.
So, you know, you also have people who want to maybe take you to the side, private message you or whatever. A guy was like, hey, can I buy some pictures off you? Of course, you know, I fetish modeled. I have plenty of things on standby for that. Sure. That was an extra $100 to sell for a print. So I had a really bomb ass first day just doing me. And I didn't have to even really
stretch outside.
Yeah, I didn't have to do too much. Like, honestly, that was really... It was really easy money. And I'm not going to say it's easy for everybody, like, okay, I'm about to toot my horn real quick. I'm cute or whatever. So, like, I can just be cute sometimes, you know. Sometimes I get by with just being cute, throw them some glasses. They think I'm all good and whatever. That's cool. It depends. Like, you know, just doing regular stuff. And people, as long as you engage with people and actually make them feel like they're a part of your experience. Like, so I've been doing it for a couple of days now. So now I have some regulars who smoke with me in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, that's part of their routine, too. All right, see you in the morning. But, right, they're happy to do that. And, yeah, it's cool. So that's just my experience. So if I ain't delved all deep, I'm not doing the most. And I know some girls who do the absolute most, and they love it and do it. So it's like, do that, boo. I'm not mad at you.
In the end, sex work is work. You don't do it if you want to do it.
Right.
Like, you don't do it against your will, of course. That's not a thing.
Yeah, of course. Everything is always consensual. We're adults, like, or should be consensual. And we're adults, so, you know, expressing yourself sexually, that's, I don't know, that's freedom. So I'm not mad at how you do it, but just respect yourself.
Cool.
So what else you got to say about Cameron? We covered that.
It's actually time for a commercial break.
Oh, dang, we've been rapping for 20 minutes. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Take it away for a little commercial break.
Already that time. Yeah,
trades up in diamonds and gold. Players all up in my soul. I bust the range in a row. Up in the VIP seat. These hoes been waiting to see me. I hope that bitch got my cheese. Can't leave with less than a cheese. I'm scoping out some new talent. Need some new hoes for my palace. Some old hoes that I just found. They hating on me like malice. Soon as I hit the front door, they scope to go round my collar. I'm here to come up on loot. I can't even wear a dollar.
I got a Rolex on my wrist. Hey, you hold your thumb of this. Some niggas wanna take my place. Some hoes be begging, ride my dick. I can't be stopped. The juice gon' shine. The truth be spoken in my rhyme. I'm living good and feeling fine. I'm high on weed and liquor and wine. Just rolling up, I'm folding up. The bottles pop, put in my cup. The niggas who work from 9 to 5 are on the corner, posted up. We still can ball the juice and pause. The deals we make, the shots we call. Entrepreneurs on worldwide tour. The only thing you say is keep my rhyme.
Business. Gangsta Boo solo tape, y'all know the scope. Teaching the tender club up thug. All hot. It's on. What a dollar bet. What a man.
The Ho Hive is a Stand Omni Media production. Stand Omni Media is a diversified digital brand that uplifts the voices and cultures that are most often silenced. That includes the hoes. This week, we are putting all of our support behind the Future Foundation in their attempt to take some youth to New Mexico for the FICO Youth Power Summit taking place November 16th through 19th. We're asking that you come out to AfroVibe this Saturday, October 21st, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. That you go on the website if you happen to be Bad and Bison and pick up your HU Homecoming Bad and Bison t-shirt. Or that you check out the Future Foundation's website and see what else you'd be willing to give up in order to see these youth get out of the hood. www.thefuturedc.org/donate. Have a heart, hoes.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Ho Hive Radio. We are talking about sex work today. We touched a little bit on prostitution, escorting, webcamming, and now we're going to get into some of the stigmas of sex work and how it's typically portrayed and received and, you know, some of the stereotypes regarding this line of work. So with that, well, there's one. So being in a strip club environment, there was this superstition, if you will, that you cannot maintain a successful relationship and do sex work. And okay, so I used to think that was true. So it's like, okay, so you went
according to that point.
So at the time when I was first introduced to it, I did agree because it just seems like it's a lot of pressure on whatever person you're with, like they have to be very comfortable in their skin, very secure, and know that, yeah, you might be, you know, busting it in a split during the day for these niggas, but it's coming home to you. So, and everybody always seems okay in the beginning, but then it always ends up being an issue. And I've just watched several women in that line of work just go through it. So, and at the end of the day, it becomes like, I don't know, your partner almost feels like you're giving away something that's theirs or something. But
it ain't theirs, though.
But anyway.
that's a whole separate conversation.
Well, I want to, with my input on the whole idea of dancers and the stigmas that come with it, I want to say this first. I appreciate professional pole technicians.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it.
Support your local professional pole workers, okay? I'm going to say it again.
Some hard shit to do.
It's some hard shit to do. But I will also say it's hard to actually get up in front of people confidently and bear God's beautiful fruit to people that you don't know. I can understand why the stigmas come so easily for strippers because people think that it's easy for them to, you know, do what they do. And at the end of the day, you have to actually have you got to have, outside of confidence, you have to have mental control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the movie The Players Club actually illustrated that the best way. Mm-hmm. Everything that actually goes on inside of a strip club, if you don't have a focus, or if you don't have, like, if there's no motive to your madness, you will get caught up. You will get caught up.
I definitely agree with that. You do need a strong mind to do any kind of sex work because, of course, this is a there's lots of vultures in this industry. Let's just say that, and people will try to play to your naivety and, you know, just try to find your weaknesses and be careful. But and as far as stripping is concerned, dang, I lost my damn train of thought, y'all. What were we saying?
Stigmas.
Okay, so. Yes, it's definitely not easy. It's not easy. And I will say, if you see the girls who are killing it on the pole and dancing their ass off, they're not the ones out here, you know, giving up extras on the sides and doing that. No, they're there to work, and that's what they're there for. And that's not an easy job. It's not. You can't do it. Like, I don't like those people who come up and say, I could do this. You probably could.
No, that's a certain kind of person. That's performance and all of that. And it's dang near, if you can perform nude in front of a room full of people, then maybe. But if you ain't there
yet, that's only like half of it. Like getting the dancing and getting naked.
You
part,
gotta actually
part.
Dance and move your body after that. That's a whole other
part. Plus that part, you cannot dance at all. But if you know how to work that floor and talk to people and, like, you know, just engage, have your own. You get to, like you said, in sex work, you create your own personality. Who do you want to be? You know, what are you delivering to people? So if you can work the floor, I've seen girls with no stage presence, but they have so much personality, they make all the money. Like. It's a sales job, to be honest. Like,
I would say my only real issue with stripping, I support my local and professional pole technician. I really wish that dancers had, like, not a hired help, but a hand that was actually inside the club that would pick up the money for them.
Some clubs do.
It depends on where you go, but that does exist in some more upscale establishments. You have, like, a madam in there, or to have toiletries, tampons, all the things you need, and then you might have security or whatever come sweep your money off the stage for you. So that does exist, but
I think
not every place.
The security does.
Yeah, they carry your trash bags and make sure you're good.
Because immediately, like, what I feel like is men or women, you know, whatever you're doing, their mind goes to, well, oh, she'll do anything for the dollar.
Oh, right.
She'll do anything.
Now, this,
that's where,
thank you.
That's,
where
that.
That's a bad one.
I can't stand that. I don't like that when it comes to sex work, all of a sudden, because you do use your body or, you know, your sensuality to make money, people automatically assume that consent goes out the window with you, that you're okay with everything. And that's not okay. Like, I've had dudes like grope me up in the club and then tell me that I need to get used to it because it's part of the job. That's not part of my job description to get touched on and felt on against my will. That's not. That's just something y'all got comfortable with because of fucking popular culture. You're not about to do that. It's still like dancers used to be one of the most respected jobs back in the day. Like back in the day, like it was a novelty to be with a real performer. It was real performance costumes. Like it was a show. Think more Flashdance than like Tip Drill video. You know what I'm saying? Like it was, you were respected. Women have really taken the industry down by being cheap and easy, and it's unfortunate. You know, not everybody's like that, but it does exist in the industry, and you got to be aware of that. Because people will come in there and just dumb it down.
And there are a lot of people in it just because for them, it was a last resort type
of
thing. And so they weren't ready. They just jumped in it. Like, I accidentally ended up in some kind of sex work situation. I didn't even know. I was just a bartender.
Right.
Next thing I know, they're talking about dress sexier, do this, do that. And I'm just like, what? Next thing I know, some random person kissed me.
What?
Out of the blue. While I'm in the middle of, like, getting orders. Like, and this is a regular restaurant. This is not even, like, a place where you think that would happen. So it's very easy to get slipped into it, even if that's not your intention. There's unintentional sex work out there. That's not good.
And to piggyback off of Brooke the Sensualist, you were saying, well, the stigmas that come with, you know, being a dancer. And I want to piggyback on the escort and the prostitute. Like you said, a sale. It's business. I want to break this down in radio land as easy as I can. Because, like I said, I'm pretty sure we have a few people who are still prude or still closed-minded to the idea. that sex work is probably, it is a billion-dollar industry, and it is probably, you know, one of the top five, it's actually one of the top five that's actually leading our nation.
Yeah,
financially.
They're trying to legalize sex work in D.C. right now, though. Like, this is a movement.
It's a movement. So, like I said, I had a few friends who used to escort, probably still do escort, but one thing that we always had conversations about was health and, you know, the idea of if you're going to be in the business, not only do you have to be cosmetically together, internally you have to be together, because at the end of the day,
spiritually you have to be together.
Your, whatever you're selling, your product has to be sellable, and you have to be able to market it. So at the end of the day, if you're out here not wrapping it up, protecting yourself while in the line of whatever you're doing, and you become subjected to something that you can't get rid of, you can't sell that.
You're going to forever be known as the girl who got class. Like, no.
Exactly. So one of the stigmas that come with prostitution and escorting is that these women sleep with anybody. These women do anything for money. Or these women have diseases.
The list of stuff. Please make it. They don't know how to keep a home. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
In layman's terms, for supply and demand, for there has to be a supply for there if there's a demand. I'm not going to go to Flint, Michigan with no bottles of water if I know that the water is dirty.
Right. Right. Pretty much.
Period. Whatever you're selling is your product. It has to be profitable. It has to be marketable. And it has to be sellable.
And that's another thing, too. Sex work in general does take a lot of keeping up appearances. Like working in a club, for example, you might get an email sent out. They want to make sure that you keeping your hair new and changing your look and changing your outfits and your nails are done. You look like something. Like you, it's a sales job. Like you're selling a fantasy.
Yeah.
You're somebody's type, you know? So yeah, it definitely takes a, and you can write all that off in sex work too. Let's talk about that. So your maintenance.
Performers
and all that maintenance, your hair, your nails, your any classes or workshops you might take, the all any, yeah, all of that, your travel.
That was a whole other topic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. So yeah, speaking of that, sexual tourism is a thing. So yes, people do travel for sex. And of course we are online now. So you can have people flying in from wherever or flying you in from wherever. However, you know, those situations get a little risky, but once you're in your line of business, you know.
Ooh, we didn't talk about
there are all kinds of options in the world, just like any other job, depending on the level and the position and where you're at, you might get the right.
Yeah. No.
Oh. You might get the right opportunity or the opportunity you would like, but sexual tourism is a thing, and I'm not talking about sex trafficking at all. Never talking about anybody doing anything against their will or anything like that. I'm talking about people willfully, like, traveling for their different sexual appetite needs, basically. So that's a whole other realm of sex work that's available.
Statistically, you wouldn't know what race travels the most for sexual tourism.
I don't know offhand, but just from experience, it's a lot. I mean, it's definitely economically based because you have to be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is mostly Caucasian.
And it's separate in, like, Atlanta and stuff. They do, like, these strip club tours. So it's like you go down there and they take you on a bus around to all the little hot spots.
So, yeah, there's different kinds of things. Like, yeah, so you're talking about, like, the travel and it's like a trip type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they do that in, like, Vegas and other places, too. I'm talking more of, like, this is your personal client.
Oh.
That's a whole different ball game of sexual tourism or even
conventions.
People go to conventions and stuff. They don't think about that as part of, like, sex work. But and people that go to all of those conventions and stuff when they're at all these different kink conventions and where all the different, there's a zillion different.
How about a whole hive event, though?
Right, whole hive event. I mean, just everywhere they're saying. Hold on, where's my other?
And besides the sexual tourism part, like the how we talked about the a lot of people just want somebody to talk to and stuff. So your coaching, counseling, and therapy that you doing long distance could turn into a trip. You know, like, I mean, it's a job like any other job. You work hard enough, you do what you do, you have fun with it, enjoy it. It's your passion. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of things that people don't realize that they're in when they're in sex business is like toy vending. How many of your friends are into toy vending but think they're not into sex work? So
you can't be a toy vendor and think that you're not into sex work, because
now they got all these people that have the home biz. They come by, they give you your party. Yeah.
But that's still sex work.
Yeah, some people
don't think that.
Some people don't view that.
Working at a sex toy store, like a novelty store, got me kind of into sex work. Like, you have to be able to be comfortable talking about that with strangers and being like, oh, yeah, so this part tickles your anus and da-da-da-da-da. You just got to be okay with it. It's casual conversation, you know. And that really, I started working there when I was, like, 18, and that really opened me up to just all the things, because I had to be.
Yeah,
so,
you got to be aware of that.
Toy testing.
I would consider that sex work, but toy testing, that's another option that's out there.
Well, let me ask you a question. People who make thermometers, they're in the factory, there's a department where people have to test them, and
they stick them in their butt.
Yeah. Would you consider that sex work?
Yeah, that's sex work.
I don't know if that's sex work. That's medically.
That's
necessary. That's not.
Even though it's necessary, doesn't mean it can be sex work.
Well, that's a thermometer. It's probably the people that are probably going because they like that and they're fine with that, maybe.
Or maybe it's the last dish
that's
effort.
I think it's still a form of sex work because, like, honey, I was watching that. Oh, nothing.
Well, then what is
sex? The temperature of people's buttholes today.
Your butt. Is your butt sex?
But this is for people using sex toys, though? Is that what you were saying? Like, you were talking about toy testing.
Toy testing as in, like, yeah.
Right. So
but not a thermometer, but toys, actually.
Unless you're into, like, medical play or something.
Right.
Speaking of that.
Medical play is a thing.
That's a fetish. So fetish work in itself is a whole another ball game. Like, you have everything from dominatrices to, what do they call them, like, littles and, you know, to... Like we said, foot fetish people. You have people
basically
who want you to...
all of those categories that be on the side when you visit the porn site.
All of
all of those, plus some.
Plus some. But really, like, really weird fetishes that you wouldn't even guess that are completely non-sexual. Like,
yeah, those are just the popular ones.
I met this guy when I was probably, like, I was young. I was, like, a young dancer. I was probably, like, 18 or 19. And I'm sitting at the bar, and he starts talking to me. And he starts just... The conversation went left real fast. It was like... He's like, oh, yeah, so my mom's a dirty cunt, and I'm sitting here looking at him like, what are you talking about? So I'm young. I wasn't, like, hip to this yet. So I go back in the dressing room. I'm like, y'all, like, there's this crazy guy out there talking about his mom's a crazy slut or something. And they're like, no, this is what he does. They were like, just the most trifling shit you could think about. Say that about his mom, he's going to tip you. So I don't even know what I said, but I went in there, started kicking some shit. I made probably like an easy, and if the insult wasn't good enough, he would surely bring that 20 back. But I probably made like a good 140 off him just talking shit about his mom. And if the insult wasn't good enough, he wasn't going to tip. Like, are you serious? This was just the most strange thing ever. But I guess maybe he has some childhood trauma or...
I don't know.
It doesn't have to be, but, you know, maybe that's just what he likes. But
sadomasochism and masochism. Everybody, I mean, people like
break
it.
Break that down. Do people know what that is?
I mean, inflicting pain, torture, or some kind of abuse on somebody else,
or
have it on yourself.
Uh-huh.
But there has to be a balance, because there's a lot of people that like to inflict that kind of pain on people. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing there has to be people out here that actually like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They need to meet, though, and not meet me, though.
What's some fetish work that you might have done? Have you done any fetish work, Tom?
I've definitely...
done some photos. We had a photo shoot a couple months ago. The pictures. I buy a lot of fetish things. I'm not able to use them, but send them in later once, you know, things
pan out.
But
this is for recreation, not for necessarily like work.
No, I have never done any fetish work.
Okay.
But I probably would be a nice dom. I would be a great dom.
Yeah, I'm trying to train. I'm actually going to try to train. I actually found a class, a local thing. So, yeah,
by souls can happen, so I want to be a dominatrix.
I've done some slight financial domination, like, those happen every once in a while. You know, I haven't had any long-term arrangements with that, but yeah, there's definitely some things to get paid for out here that you just you have no idea that how deep sex work can really go. What other?
The madam and pimps.
Pimp.
Now we talked about that too.
We got almost.
Oh, we didn't cover like phone sex operators. That's a valid profession as well. I think that was more like that's a dying thing now with camming coming along because.
Who
talks on the phone when you can see somebody and talk to them at the same time? Like, so, do you remember you used to see all those commercials off the late night? Like, call now.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Those
commercials are so
dangerous. I guess somebody does it. I don't know.
Yeah, they be on.
They call.
People be calling.
Yeah, they be calling. But, you know, I think that, yeah, where it's heading, I feel like that's going to end up being like Blockbuster. Like, and then Camming's Netflix. Like, you just got to upgrade.
Pretty much. Oh, and then, yes, the Ho Hive. What another way to get into sex work.
Of course, you know, it's just all of the positions, basically, everything.
We are sex work.
Sex
positive things. We have this podcast. We have events. Speaking of that, we have Taste, Touch, Feel Halloween coming up on October 28th. We'll have our normal 8 to 11 show, followed by our adult after-party play date from 11 to 2 a.m. You can find tickets at www.tastetouchfeel.eventbrite.com. And we'll be having a really cool costume contest this time, a costume ball with three different categories. One is the Chic Ho Awards. That's for the fancy hoes who want to do it up maybe in some stiletto, something nice, a tux. I don't know, whatever you want to do. Look cute, you know, fancy. We have Best Kinky Superhero, so that should be fun. Yes, Super Hoes. We're going to see all the Super Hoes in the building. And then we have Best Couples Costume, because we have a lot of couples that attend our event. So it should be really fun.
And if you're proud of your Ho Hive work, make sure you get up and tell somebody at the next event so they understand that sex work can be fun and not actually have to involve sexual intercourse.
Right.
A quick shout out to Lotus Blue. That crochet.
Hell yeah.
It was everything ever.
It was hot.
Halloween.
It was so hot.
I want some little petals on my titties too.
Some watermelon cups.
Ow.
So yeah, shout out to Lotus Blue. Who else we got here?
Oh, what time? Time check.
We have 10:45. We definitely want to shout out Stand Omni Media for giving us the platform to just come to you guys every Tuesday night and do what we do best, educate, empower, enlighten, all sex, everything. So one of our last topics in sex work is as a educator, health or sex educator. There are plenty of those. They are totally into sex business. They have a wealth of information.
What was that?
But that is definitely to sex work too.
What was that white lady's name?
Which white lady? What?
Talk Sex With.
Yes, Talk Sex With Sue Johansson. That's actually my idol. I'm going to be her. Y'all going to see me one day.
That's
what I was. As unattractive as that woman was, she knew her shit.
Yeah,
she
did.
She was knowledgeable as fuck, like, for real.
She knew her shit.
Yeah. Right. So I'm working on that. And I'm going to be 80 up there, but I'm going to be looking like I'm 60 because, you know.
Black don't crap.
So, see y'all in about 30 years. So see me. But,
you know, we'll have it
moving. I know. It might be less than that. I need to read up real quick. Geishas. So that was one we didn't really totally touch on. They have a whole separate name. That would be more like your highest level escort or prostitute, like a cross between, maybe.
So don't they like save their virginity or something for their top bidder? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe it's normally practiced in what?
Asia somewhere.
Some Asian culture that I don't want to fuck up right now.
Right.
Don't quote us.
Don't quote us. We are not licensed. I was going to say Japanese. Is that right? But I don't want to
lie. It might be.
I don't want to offend nobody.
But definitely, I mean, that's a whole other level. That's somewhere where it's all legal and stuff like that.
Did y'all hear that story a couple years ago where some young woman, her mother encouraged her to hold her virginity, get degrees, get her shit. So she basically sold herself into marriage because it showed her certificate that she still had her hymen intact and all of that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's practice someplace.
That's a smart move. I wish my mom would have told me some shit like that.
We would have been in elementary school. No, we would have been in middle school when this story came out. The chick who sold her virginity on eBay.
Was it the same chick who went to, like, she had, like, Harvard Law degrees and all that stuff and put her degrees up there next to her her doctor's note?
Do we know how much she got?
She got a couple mil. And she married and a husband.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's happy,
right.
But.
I don't know, but that sounded like a good setup, though. I hope the sex is great. But she wouldn't know anyway, would she? I don't know.
Right, it's her first experience, I guess.
I don't know. Is virginity still a virtue? I don't really know. I don't.
Japan. She says it's Japan.
It was Japan.
Thank
look at me know all my shit.
Thank you.
Okay.
Shout out to Ms. Blue.
Thank you, Lotus.
Yes. So we're going to piggyback a little bit on the Madam and the Pimp situation. I definitely want to say in this day and age, I know for sure pimps do not exist. Now, I know in Radio Land, y'all probably like, hold on, I got a whole stable out here. I got some bitches, all that. Let's just be honest. In this day and age, if you are still practicing the whole pimp hoe situation, make sure you're with somebody who is actually investing in you, because a real man is not going to have you out here day and night without a motive to your madness. If the acronym for PIMP, paper in my pocket, you know, if you're going to be out here in the sex work world, make sure if you do have someone who is representing you, make sure that they're the best representation possible. Like, don't be bottom shelf when you can be top shelf. The issue with the PIMP,
people with those.
Exactly. The issue with pimps these days, they want to call themselves men of leisure or, I don't know, daddy. Listen, titles are titles, like I said. I just think that in this day and age, if you're not actually going by the code of pimping, you're not a pimp. You're just a lazy man who knows, who pretty much extorts women to get your weed, get your Henny, I don't know, sell your Coke, but... All I'm going to say is like this, pimping is definitely dead. In the South, I'll give y'all a little more credit because y'all still do have the Players Ball in Atlanta every year. But let's just call it what it is.
Back in the day all the time.
Let's just call it what it is. You men in this day and age are lazy. You're taking advantage of low self-esteem, vulnerable women who probably have daddy issues. And, yeah. So if you are a pimp or if you're a woman or if you're a prostitute who has a pimp, make sure that they're investing in you and not just the bottom of your soul, a good pair of shoes, make sure that you can walk on a stiff-ass concrete night in bed. Passing the phone back.
And pimps not only are men, but they can be women.
They can be women.
And what's the formal name for
Madame.
Shout out to Hugh Hefner.
Sleep in peace.
I know, rest in peace, but
rest in peace.
You know, he had a shit with him too, but
of course.
He'll be all right. He figured out how to live the life. Figured that out.
He's just white Bill Cosby.
That's right, pretty much.
Sorry.
She said it, I was thinking it.
So the entertainment industry is its own sex industry. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
I mean, it is its own sex industry.
With the over-sexualization of women, definitely. Like... It's easier to get into the entertainment industry if you're a little sexy, you know.
Or have a little sex.
That part, too. Okay, so speaking of sex work, so let's talk about people who are not prostitutes, not strippers, but they are still fucking their way to the top of whatever. It could be that corporation that, you know, to that CEO position, whatever you want to do, that exists.
Melania Trump.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that exists. So I don't. Oh, that is pretty cool, Sam. But I find it interesting that certain women choose to shame other women as if they aren't themselves, you know, providing some kind of sex work. I feel like if you got a husband,
you do sex work
all the time.
If you're married, you do free sex work all the time.
And my whole thing, are you a for-profit organization or a non-profit? Because you still out here doing sexual favors, but what are you getting out of it? So what Miss Brooke of the Sensualist is trying to say in layman's terms is, if you ever invited a man over, and it was probably after 9 o'clock, before 3 a.m., y'all had sex, he got up, put his clothes on, and you say, hey, baby, can you go get me a burger and fry? Yes, you have sold yourself
a burger and fry, that's not it now.
You may not have got that cash, but you got that 2 for $5.
I have all these crazy-ass stories from my life, right?
So I remember working at this club, and I used to have a regular cab dude that I would just call. This is before Uber was popping. So had the regular cabbie, so I knew who was taking me home or whatever. So this night he was like, look, I got a couple other people I need to take, but I'll still pick you up. So I'm like, cool, whatever. So I get in the car, and I see this nigga that I know. He did music or whatever, and I was just like, okay. So I'm just minding my business, whatever. I just got off work. So it turns out that one of the girls who was getting off work, no, she didn't get to work at my club. We stopped by another club, picked her up. That was the other thing. So it turns out they had some arrangement. I thought that she was, you know, going to be paid in the situation. Apparently, she was getting the room. She was paying him for some D. And she got off work from the strip club and was paying her for some D for the night. I was just so confused.
That's a situation.
I'm just looking at this whole exchange. He's like, yeah, go get the room. I'm like, this nigga ain't putting up no money. And he's like, I didn't know that's how you work. You actually busted it open all night, popping splits just for you to come pay for some dick.
That's not a pimp.
I don't know what that is.
Is that financial domination? I don't know.
That could be a form of it, because she just seems.
That sounds like something I would do.
You would do that?
Well, no. Like, I would have somebody else do, like, get everything. But they
have them come pick you up in the cab. Go get the room.
They would have to do everything. Mm-hmm. I'm naturally a financial dominant. I'm not doing all of that. So.
No, I love money, but that was just a very interesting situation right there. I don't know. I don't know what kind of sex work that is, but something was popping. I think that was just a booty call gone expensive.
Maybe. It may be. But if he was a financial dime and she was a sub, that could have been their thing. You don't think so?
Mm-hmm. I don't even think they know what that is.
Probably not. Where are you? Where are we? 10.
Yeah, 50. I finished off.
Oh, okay. Good. Still got some.
So shout out to Unity. I want to shout out Unity.
Unity. For what?
So a friend and I went and got tested today.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
We got our STIs, STDs,
yes,
and HIV.
I got all my results today too.
Hey. So shout out to Unity for that. While we're talking about sex work, we just want you guys to know the importance of being healthy, remaining healthy, keeping yourself safe, not being vulnerable to susceptible risks like easy things like condoms breaking or not being used,
right.
Things like that. You just want to stay well informed of what you got going on in the interior.
Right. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. A little cash is not worth your safety. Like, be safe out here, y'all. Sex work is still a very, I'll say, dangerous. Yeah, it's still a very risky industry to be in. You know, there's a certain level of control that people lose when it comes to sex. So, It's just be careful in this industry. Sex work is not for anybody that's weak-minded at all. Have to be assertive.
Just because you're freaky don't mean you should be in sex work. That does not equate to a good sex worker. You have to be. You're a businesswoman, and don't you ever forget it. Like,
there is a bottom line. There's a way you want to conduct yourself. Uh-oh. Stick to it. Don't let anybody else take you off of that. And definitely be assertive. I don't know. That's the thing. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And now it's 10:57. Well, can we have a last announcement before we close out?
All right. So I want to give a quick shout out to some of our sponsors for Taste Touch Feel. We have District Delivery. You can find them at District Delivery 202 on Instagram. They do edibles. They sell lighters and different cannabis-related things that you can get delivered directly to your door. So they'll be providing some goodie bags and swag for our Halloween Taste Touch Feel show. And again, if you live in the D.C. metropolitan area, on October 28th, we're having our third installment of Taste Touch Feel and our last one for 2017, so you won't want to miss it.
We anticipate having a health educator there, actually.
Yes, we'll have a lot of new goodies this time. We're definitely going out with a bang. And you can get your tickets for that at www.tastetouchfeel.eventbrite.com. Early bird sales are over. We are about 10 days away from the event, so you want to get your tickets because this is going to be the biggest one yet.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, yo. Moon la la. Yeah, yo. Bitch, better have my money. Y'all should know me well enough. Bitch, better have my money. Please don't call me on my blood. Pay me what you want it. Ballin' bigger than LeBron. Bitch, give me your money. Who y'all think y'all frontin' on? Like blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me out the side. Shit, your wife in the backseat of like blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot. Bitch, better have my money. Bitch, better have my money. Pay me what you want it. Bitch, better have my money. Stop doing 100 y'all in my rearview mirror racing. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where like, blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me off the top. Shit, your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot. I called a shot, shot, shot. Like, blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot. Bitch, better have my money. Bitch, better have my money. Pay me what you want it. Bitch, better have my. Bitch, better have my. Bitch, better have my money. Bitch, better have my money.
Bitch.